Ephesians chapter 5 tells us that we sing to one another, but we make melody in our heart to God. And what we hope that you hear is not a performance, but we hope what you hear is a heart that is talking to God, something genuine. Our desire during these days is to take the holiday out of the holy days and to get the focus on Him. There is a reason why we do this. And there is a reason for the resurrection. Romans chapter 6, verse 4 says that Christ was raised that you might walk in newness of life. Amen. Romans chapter 7, verse 4 says Christ was raised that you might bear fruit. There's actually a reason why all of these things happen. There's a reason why Christ did what He did. And it wasn't necessarily so that you and I could look at a particular event and say, how nice that was. It was so that your life would be changed. My life would be changed. That we would realize that not only has God resurrected and defeated death, but God has given me a new life and a reason for living, a purpose in life. One of our folks here, Doc, I'm going to ask you to come up, and I'm going to talk oftentimes directly to him because he's reading my lips. But Doc, we were talking this last week about purpose. I remember not too long ago, you had come to me and you said, I'm coming towards the end of my days, and what is my purpose, you know? And I remember us kind of talking about that and wrestling with it. And we know that the Lord has called us to bear fruit. We know that everything that He brings into our life is for a reason. One of the passages I was thinking about in particular was in Philemon. And in Philemon, you have a interesting scenario that some guy stole from the pastor. Philemon being the pastor, Onesimus being the one who stole from him. And he somehow slipped away and found himself in prison. And of all places, next to Paul. And in this prison visit, he was changed. His life was changed. And the way that Paul writes this letter to Philemon is, you need to forgive him. And I'm going to send him back. And it might have been for this whole purpose that all this happened. And you realize that, let me get this straight. Somebody stole from me, and they left me, and they left me high and dry. And that has a purpose. And the book says, yeah, it was for a purpose. And we realize that things happen in our life for a purpose. One of the things we were talking about specifically was your brother passed away about a week ago.
12 days.
12 days ago. And really, you grew up in a household that didn't love the Lord. And God literally plucked you out through a series of things. I mean, you were kind of resurrected from one incident where you lost your hearing, and then another one where they actually had to remove your face and put it back on. God has brought you back to life. Some people are a lot more hard-headed than others and take more of a miracle to save. But the Lord changed your heart drastically, and you realize that all these things happen for a reason. But I think the death of your brother caused you to reflect upon him, God even using your brother in your life to do certain things. Tell us a little bit about that and how the Lord has been.
A couple of months ago, I shared a testimony about salvation in my life, and on a deathbed and being on fire for Jesus and sharing with my family, and I was rejected. And part of that testimony was to share how 45 years later, my father got saved. Mm. God working continually off the wall. But somewhere in there fits this little guy named Tony. He was my younger brother. If he had a motto, it was, I came in to life with nothing, and I think I still have it all. Mm-hmm. And And he was very simple. Nothing bothered him. And I tried to avoid him because his communication to a worldly living person were difficult. And so God worked it out with a purpose. In 1973, I was moving from Southern California to Oregon, and I was packing up all my gear, and he called me and said, "I heard you're going to Oregon." And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Can I go with you?" And a 16-hour trip is going to be hard for me with him. But you know what? God does miracles. And during that time, I shared everything that God had done in my life for those 7 years. And when we pulled up to the place in Oregon, he said to me, "You know, there's no doubt in my mind that you're sincere about what you believe and that I can see that you're different. And if I ever have a need of that nature, I'll call you." It's easy to get disappointed when that happens. But you know, 15 years later, he called. It's a miracle how God works things. But God gave that man, he was a cowboy, gave him a job, and he traveled all over America talking to people, trying to find a purpose in life. And he said to me when he called me, he said, "I've seen all these people, I've talked to all these Christians, and they're all hypocrites. I want to come live with you. I want to work for you. And I want to see if Jesus is real." Mm. Praise the Lord, 3 years later, he got saved. Mm-hmm. And it's a miracle how my thoughts were, "God, take him home. He doesn't need to be, his life is empty. You know, it doesn't need to be here anymore." Well, what happened was when he called me on the phone, I was preparing for a big ministry at First Baptist Church downtown, and I was thrust into this leadership role, which when God has something special to do, he usually tears you apart and gets you where he wants you. So I was praying for a mentor, somebody that would really help me and guide me. And that week, praying for that, is then Tony called me and made that statement. So God, in what I needed, was somebody that was simple. Somebody that God had put on my heart to mentor to get through this. And the greatest part about it was it didn't end then. 6 years later, I was deep into the ministry, and Tony called me on the phone again. And he said, "What you doing Mom's birthday?" She was 75 the coming Sunday. And I said, "Well, I'm pretty busy at church." And he says, "Funny thing is, that's what she said. She said, Doc's not going to come. He's doing too much at church." Talk about a conviction from the Holy Spirit. I got up at 6 o'clock that Sunday morning, went to this grocery store, bought all the trimmings, drove an hour and a half to Stark, and cooked my mom and dad breakfast as they were getting up. And we talked about the family and my brothers and my sister and different things. And all of a sudden, the Lord opened the door, and I gave my testimony for about 20 minutes of what God had. They knew that I was different, but they didn't feel comfortable with it. So I shared the personal parts of my life, that God had given me a purpose in life. And it was so heartwarming to me to be able to say that to my parents, who the door was open, was never open before. Well, Dad said humbug and walked out and went in the other room. But Mom stuck by me for another hour and a half, and we talked, and she followed me to my vehicle, and I got in the vehicle, and she was at the window, and she said, "I love you, son." She had never said that before. So something was working. And I prayed in my heart that God would do something about it. And as I drove off, she had not made any kind of a commitment. But as I turned away, looked back, I remember saying, "God, why didn't you save her?" And it's like he simply said, "You've done your part, let me do mine." Amen. 3 weeks later, she had surgery. They found cancer. They removed it all. And at the end of that week, I was able to go visit her, talking to her, and I said, "Tell me about your illness." She said, "I'm not sick anymore." She said, "I accepted Christ as my Savior." Unbelievable. But that's how our God works. And there's a purpose in all of this. And she, her words were without leaving. She said, "I know he healed me because he told me he wants me to be the Bible that your father needs to read." So I figured life was over and I was ready to head on to heaven. But that's not the end of the story. Tony called me. He says, we're getting up in the 70s, near 70, 65, 70. He says, "The last thing in my bucket, I want to go to Montana and fly fish. And they're the only person that has enough money that can pick me up and take me." So lo and behold, a year later, I didn't want to retire, but my partner bought me out. I had an RV, and I was heading to Oregon. Faith, believe me, I had no idea. I mean, I'm a pretty courageous person, but I didn't know where and when and how I was going to end up and stop the place. It seemed like everywhere I went, God had somebody wanting to know something. There was a purpose on this journey. And I remember when I picked him up, he said, "You don't remember Justin, our nephew, but he lives in Montana. And we're going to go to his place, and I think we can park the RV there, and I think things will be fine." And he said, I really appreciate doing this because I just want to catch a few trout and go fishing. So he pulled up in the place, walked in the door, and Justin's wife was sitting in a chair, and she said, "I've heard all about you. You're a very religious man, so you need to know right now I'm an atheist and I'm not going to change." Well, God in his miraculous ways, I made trips out there 4 different times. And each time she had questions. And finally, I shared my Bible with her and I showed her answers to those questions. Finally, she asked me if I would buy her a Bible that she could read and keep to herself. She had a brain tumor and had surgery, and she was partly paralyzed, so I knew her days were limited. And then the last year and a half, I never was able to get back to see her. But she would text me at least every other week and ask me if questions, but would actually ask me if she could pray for something in my life. Only God does that.
Amen.
And she passed on. But here, you know, the whole thing behind all this is I look back upon my life as I did when I got the phone call, or actually a text message, that Tony had passed on. The person that texts me is my unsaved brother. And apparently Tony told him to text me because he said, "Tony has passed on. He wanted me to let you know that." So as I reminisced about the whole thing, I've been on my deathbed 4 times. I've had 17 repair surgeries. I'm deaf, legally deaf. I have hearing aids on. I'm 96% deaf. I have double vision. I stutter a little. I got to get out of bed every morning with every one of those surgeries. But God can use even me. And there's a purpose in why he has kept me here. Okay? Every time, which I'm ready to take off for Montana again. But every time I've been there, God puts people every stop I go, whether it's to encourage them or to share with them why life is is what really surprises me is when people look at me and say, there's something different about you. It opens the door. There's a purpose. I don't consider myself to be anything better than Tony, if as good as him. The reality behind it is there's a purpose in everything that God does. And if we keep our hearts and our minds focused and have an intimate love relationship with him, it's his love that makes things happen.
We're going to see Tony again. We're going to see him again.
Yeah, that's the greatest part about resurrection is Jesus said to the man on the cross that died, he said, today I will see you in paradise.
Amen.
So when I think about that, but the little icing on the cake was 18 hours after he died, my granddaughter, who has been one who I mentored to an intimate love relationship with the Lord, gave birth to my first great grandchild. So I have another purpose.
Keeps coming.
Thank you.
Well, Father, we want to give you thanks for your marvelous gift. You ask me how I know you live. You live within my heart. We give you thanks in Jesus' name.